Chapter 10, Section 1, Elizabeth and Mary. Before the promised deliverer arrived on the scene, God was going to prepare the Jewish people by sending a special messenger to announce the impending event. The angels of heaven must have hushed as they watched to see who this select bearer of good tidings might be. But then news of a different kind leaked through, news having to do with the identity of the deliverer. It must have left all of heaven gasping. As we listen to this next passage, take note of the references to the different persons of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but only one God.
In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Luke 1, 5 through 17.
The angel had told Zechariah that his son, John, would be the messenger to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. That was news, all right, but it was that last tidbit of information that had all heaven gasping. God himself, the Lord, was coming to earth. He would be the promised deliverer. The news must have stunned Satan. No doubt Zechariah was floundering as he tried to absorb all this. Seeing an angel was unheard of in his day, and the news of Elizabeth having a son at their age was enough to give an old man pause. But then to be informed that the Creator God was coming as the promised deliverer, well, it was simply unbelievable. But then again, Zechariah was familiar with the writings of the prophets. 400 years before his time, the prophet Malachi had written about this event.
"See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty." Malachi 3:1.
There it was in plain words. Zechariah must have wondered why he had not seen it so clearly before. It was obvious. Malachi had written that the Lord would be coming as the Anointed One. And moreover, the angel had said that the messenger who would prepare his way would be the priest's own son, John. Zechariah went home dumbfounded. And God kept his word. It happened just as the angel said it would.
After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people."
The scene now shifts. The angel made another visit, this time to a young lady by the name of Mary.
In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary.
Joseph and Mary were engaged to each other according to their Jewish customs. The Bible says that both Joseph and Mary were direct descendants of King David, who had lived 1,000 years earlier.
The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus."
Now it was Mary's turn to be speechless. The angel was telling her plainly that she would be the mother of the promised deliverer. The name Jesus means the Lord is our deliverance, or the Lord is our salvation. Like God the Father, the many names of Jesus describe his character. But the angel had more to say.
"He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
The angel went on to tell Mary that Jesus was God's son. Jesus was the deliverer, the one promised to King David, the one promised to the children of Jacob down through the ages. Jesus would be their true king. When Mary finally found her tongue, she asked a very logical question.
"How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
So that was it. The baby would not have a human father. It all made sense now. Mary knew the stories well. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God had promised Eve that the promised deliverer would be her offspring. It did not say their offspring, referring to both man and woman. Now the promise was about to be fulfilled, and the child would be born of a virgin. It would be her offspring only. What had seemed to be an insignificant choice of phrasing now carried tremendous weight. But this little notation in the footsteps of history had greater ramifications. Because the baby would not be conceived by the seed of the man, the baby would not be part of Adam's bloodline. All descendants of Adam had inherited his nature, the sin nature. But Jesus would not be a descendant of Adam. Rather, he would have the nature of his Father, the God Most High. No wonder the angel referred to the baby as the Holy One. The child would be sinless, just as God is sinless. Like reproduces like. Jesus would be perfect from conception.
"Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Luke 1:24-38.
Mary knew Elizabeth was too old to have a child. Surely if God could make it possible for Elizabeth to conceive, then it was just as believable for her as a virgin to have a child. Mary chose to trust God.